Welcome to the Tokyo Lens Podcast, and as always, if you are a regular listener, welcome back. Welcome to the last episode of 2019. And as the last episode of 2019, I wanted to do something just a little special. So today we're playing the shamisen. I'm inviting you guys right here into my office so we can sit down and I can walk you through what it's like to practice shamisen for a day. Now, this is just going to be the basics, but I'm going to try and make it as much fun as possible. A side note that recording the shamisen can be an incredible challenge. So if the audio is exactly perfect, I hope that you'll forgive that and I'm sure that you'll understand. But what I want to do today is just have a little bit of fun with you. We're going to walk through everything. We're going to start with how I start warming up, how I do a bit of a practice, and even things like how I open performances, what my favorite songs are to play, and everything. For those interested in a more visual representation of this, I am also doing a video on YouTube. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. Let's just jump right into it. I want to start with the basics. Now, the shamisen is a basic instrument. Really, really it is. It's got a body which is hollowed out and covered in a skin. It has a wooden neck and three strings. These strings tunings are C, G, and C, and are made out of silk, tetron, and nylon, going from the thickest to the thinnest strings. And one of the biggest challenges in playing the shamisen is simply keeping it in tune. Shamisen do not like to stay in tune. And there are a lot of different things that can affect the tuning, everything from heat and humidity to how often you play it to the age of the strings, whether you've been using them for a day, a week, whether they're freshly set. Even small things like the position of the bridge can completely change the tuning, the overall tone, and the positions on the neck, as it is a fretless instrument. Now, I could go in and go over 101 different shamisen facts, and while I may eventually do an episode on shamisen facts if there is enough interest, for today, I want to start off with how I open my practices, my warm-ups. So each practice or warm-up starts with something called bachizuke. And bachizuke is kind of a walk through the three strings, and it's what you're hearing in the background right now. Now, this bachizuke, while incredibly simple sounding, is actually one of the most difficult and high pressure moments for a shamisen player. Those first two strikes, the da-dun on the strings, mean absolutely everything. And a skilled shamisen player or judge will completely evaluate the skill of the player based on that initial strike. Originally, this served kind of two purposes. The first purpose was to be an additional layer of tuning. As I mentioned a moment ago, keeping the shamisen in tune is a challenge all of its own. But once you get the shamisen tuned, you usually go into playing a song. And as you do this, you strike the strings a lot harder. And the bachizuke is meant to be kind of an accurate representation of how you would hit the strings. And if there's any little adjustments that need to be made in tuning, this is your opportunity right here during the bachizuke. But if we go back in history, the shamisen itself was well known to be played by blind musicians. You see, they would wander the streets, sit down with the shamisen, and play it, attracting a crowd and using that as their opportunity to make money. And the bachizuke was the announcement that a shamisen performance was about to start. This being the case, a lot of shamisen songs to this day, including those played at shamisen competitions that happen across Japan all year, every year, open with this bachizuke. Now, this is how I start every single okeiko or formalized training, and this is how I get into each one of my practices. It's a great warm-up. It really helps you focus on the basics. And there are so many little things that it's absolutely impossible to go over with you here in a podcast, like the minute details of how your hand is positioned or what angle the bachi itself is at, what angle you're striking at, where your thumb is positioned within a millimeter can completely change the sound. These little differences and nuances all come together and you have the opportunity to practice them right there in the Bachizuke. Now, typically, one of the things that I like to practice right after doing the Bachizuke is a song called Rokudan. Rokudan is the base for a great number of Tsugaru Shamisen songs. Now, this song here has so many of the difficult shamisen techniques that are built into Tsugaru Shamisen, all the way from the opening, it starts with the Bachizuke, into a whole range of techniques and notes, and ending with something called Kamashi. Now this kamashi, this is something that I'm definitely going to go into a lot more detail in the YouTube version of this because it's something that I can visually show you. But this here is basically, there's a couple different ways of doing it, but it is a gradual increase, a progression of a loop of notes that crescendos into something much bigger. If I were just to give you a plain version of it, it would sound like this. And this is typically used to signify the entrance into another section of the song. And two of the most common questions that I or any other shamisen player get are, number one, when do you clap during a shamisen performance? These here, kamashi, are the most tiring moments overall because they're spread throughout the song and they are very, very tiring. You've got to pick up the speed, you've got to hold the pace, you've got to build up to something even bigger. They are exhausting and require a great deal of stamina. So as they build, as they reach what sounds like it might be the peak, this is where we hope that the audience will start to clap. And that clap is kind of like an okay for us that we can finally jump into the next second section because we have impressed the audience sitting in front of us. Another fairly common question that comes along with this is regarding the kakegoe. Very often you will hear shamisen players go, "Huh!" before they jump into something. And a lot of people ask, well, what is this kakegoe and how do you know when to do it? The simplest way to explain it is when you are about, for example, to go from the kamashi into the main part of the song, if you are playing with two players and you need to signify that this kamashi is about to end and we are about to go into the next section, you would do so with a kakegoe by going, "Hup!" It's kind of the same when you're about to start the song, when you're about to start the bachizuke, or when you're ending the bachizuke and going into a song. So that tells you a little bit about where to clap and what the shamisen players are doing when they use those kakegoe. It's actually a form of communication. More often than not, when it's just one player, that kakegoe is usually some kind of built-up tension. It happens very often at the end of these kamashi, and so much tension and energy is built up, and to clear that out before going into the next section, this is where they use the kakegoe. Now, typically, after practicing Rokudan, I take a little bit of a break because, well, my hands do get tired and there a lot of stamina is required for Tsugaru Shamisen. But this is where I move into a song called Tsugaru Jongara Bushi. On the YouTube side, I had to cut out a great deal of this just for overall time management, but allow me to share a little bit about Tsugaru Jongara Bushi with you. So Tsugaru Jongara Bushi is one of the main songs in the Tsugaru Shamisen repertoire. Now this song has a general flow that a lot of people say tells the story of the seasons. It opens up with a very heavy playing on the biggest string. This section we imagine snow squalls and heavy snowstorms and wind, and from here the wind dies down into something a little more calm and quiet before eventually building up again, etc., etc. There is a story that plays throughout this entire song. This song is the song used at almost every single competition across Japan to evaluate skills players against each other. For you see, each player creates their own rendition of this song. Using myself as an example, about 6 or 7 years ago, I received a very basic version of this song from the older of the two Yoshida brothers. From there, I spent year after year making adjustments to it. Lengthening parts, removing parts, adding phrases, making some techniques more complicated, or simplifying certain parts that just didn't match my playing style. And over the years, this morphs into a version of Tsugaru Jongarabushi that is only mine. That is kind of a signature that shows what my skills as a shamisen player are and what I can really do and how well I can play. This is what the judges use at competitions, and this is usually the next stage of my practice. I'll do a couple runs of this. Now, to learn the bass version of this song took me roughly 6 months to be able to fully pick it up and a year to be able to really play it. It wasn't until within the beginning of the second year that I started to change and add parts of my own. And here we are, roughly 5, 6, maybe even 7 years later, I'm still making adjustments to this very song. One of the things that I often liken the shamisen to more than anything in this world is golf. Of all things. More than being similar in any way to other instruments, I find that it's similar to golf in the sense that there's no perfect game. The whole goal with something like golf or maybe even bowling is to golf your perfect game or bowl your perfect game. Now, people in bowling obviously do get perfect scores, but that's why I say golf, because it's a lot less likely that you're going to get hole-in-ones from start to finish. And the shamisen is very much the same way, and Tsugaru Jongarabushi is a great representation of that, which is one of the biggest reasons, aside from being a display of each person's technique abilities, that it is used at the competitions. This is a song that is very, very complicated to describe in terms of overall emotion, because it is both very fun to play, but at the same time, a song that really makes you feel a lot of pressure. But stepping outside of these into a song that I personally really, really love playing, and I mean really love playing, I have been learning the song Ibuki by the Yoshida Brothers for roughly the past, 6 months to a year, somewhere in there, and I really, really enjoy playing this song. The single greatest thing about this song for me is the juxtaposition between the soft opening and the explosion that is the main part of the song. It is challenging to learn, challenging to play, and so much fun. It's one of those songs that honestly, if I were to ever to sit down from start to finish here on the podcast over on YouTube and do an entire song for you, it almost definitely would be that song, because it is honestly that much fun to play. It's just, I personally really love the way that it sounds. And since this is my favorite part of this entire discussion, I thought this would be a great time for me to share something kind of special with you. You see, for the last while, I don't even know how long now, I've actually secretly been running a Patreon page. More than anything, it's a place where I can just put out more content, do streams and podcasts for those people who really want to enjoy it, I guess. And yes, I said podcast because there is a secret podcast over on there. There's also a hidden Instagram account. I do some live streams up there. We do posts. There's a whole bunch of stuff. It's meant to just be a fun place for us to hang out and spend a little more time together. Now, since a few people have already found it, I thought it was about time to let you know that it's here. I will link it in the description for anybody who's interested. But with that being announced, I kind of want to talk about how I open up some of my performances. You see, my performances that I do here in Japan, they actually happen fairly often, but more often than not, they're corporate performances that I can't invite people out to. I only do maybe one or two a year that are non-corporate performances. Start with me trying to create the same gap that is created by the opening of Ibuki. You see, while the rest of my performance is typically really heavy tsugaru-style music, I like to open up with something that gives the feel of, wait, is this tsugaru, or is he starting with Kyoto shamisen? And from there, I usually go into simple explanations of things like the difference between the Okinawa shamisen, which is the sanshin, and the Kyoto shamisen, and, you know, played by geisha, and the tsugaru shamisen. I talk about the history and everything like that, and my hopes. My hopes is that someday in the near future, hopefully within 2020, I can sit down and do a scheduled live performance right on YouTube, sharing with you guys exactly what it's like to do a full shamisen performance. One of the really, really common emails that I get because of all the shamisen stuff that I do is, where can I get started? Whether they're in Japan or whether they're outside of Japan, people want to know where they can start, where they can get a shamisen. And if this is you, I want to share just a brief little input there. The biggest number one thing that I would recommend is to get in touch with shamisen komatsuya. Mr. Komatsu, Komatsu-san, if you will, is the gentleman who built my shamisen last year. I trust the quality of his work. I trust his interactions. I trust him as a human much more than I trust the vast majority of shamisen that are available out there. And unfortunately, I know far too many people who ended up getting their stuff from English sites or auction sites or handmade by someone, and the quality wasn't anywhere near what they paid for. They paid for maybe a $200 shamisen, but what they paid out was $2,000. So if that made any sense, they spent $2,000 and got the value of a $2,000. You get the point. Whereas at Shamisen Komatsuya, they have something called the Shami Boy. And this I actually recommend because it is super cheap. It is synthetically skinned. You don't have to worry about it ripping. You don't have to worry about any of that. And if the wood kind of, you know, softens down over time, I think it's only like $200-$300 for this Shami Boy. So it's much more reasonable than putting thousands of dollars into a shamisen that needs to be played all the time. A shamisen is not the kind of instrument that you can just play and then set on the wall for a couple days and then go back and play. It doesn't work like that. In order to keep them in prime condition, they need to be constantly taken care of and played. It is a daily thing. I was in Canada for 6 weeks. During my time in Canada, before leaving, I actually left my shamisen with the Yoshida brothers so that they would be able to take it out of the case every now and then, open it up, do a bit of playing it, wipe it down, tune the strings, do all the things that will keep it alive, because the shamisen is made out of wood and everything like that. So I highly, highly recommend, because it's more of a lifestyle than it is a toy, starting with something super cheap. If you're able to find something used online that you're comfortable with, maybe go for it. But if you want something of reputable quality from a shamisen maker here in Japan that will not cost you an arm and a leg, if anything, it'll cost you less than something that you would buy anywhere else in the world, I highly recommend getting in touch with Komatsuya. Again, I'm going to link them down in the description. Getting back to talking about the practices that I do, one of the reasons I'm doing this now is because I actually have quite a few shamisen performances lined up at the beginning of 2020. And after taking a 6-week break and being in Canada, I have completely and utterly lost all my stamina and am really, really struggling to play lately. So I thought that doing this content would be a great opportunity to give me the motivation to really, really focus on practice again. And it'll give me the opportunity to perhaps do a piece of content like this in a year or 2 years from now that shows the development in progress in how far I have come. Shamisen is a massive part of my life. It is something I truly enjoy, and I'm so glad that so many of you are interested in it. The two ladies that I travel the most with for shamisen, Kiki, we are going to be putting together some spectacular projects in 2020 that I am more than over the top excited for. Cannot wait to share it all with you. 2020 is truly going to be the year of the shamisen. So if you are interested in this type of content, this year is the year for you. Now, a few days ago, I'd say maybe a week or so ago, I put up a questionnaire on my Instagram, on one of my stories, asking people what kind of information they would like to know about the shamisen. And I got a lot of really good questions in there. In fact, so many that I could probably do an entire piece of content centered solely around these questions. But this got me thinking, if you don't happen to be connected with me on Instagram, you probably wouldn't have seen that. So I openly invite you, whether it be through Twitter or ironically Instagram or email or whatever it is, if you have specific things that you would like to know about shamisen, or if you're looking to start and need to be, you know, need help getting in touch with someone like Komatsu-san, let me know. I will help guide you. And again, if you have questions, shoot them off to me, and I would love to do a full involved piece on the shamisen. Like, there's some great stuff in here, like advice on buying a beginner shamisen, brand and cost, right there. We have covered that. Can you play Jingle Bells on the shamisen? Was actually, I got like 4 or 5 people posting that. So I posted a Jingle Bells beautifully played by Kiki to both my Instagram and Twitter feed. How complicated can playing the shamisen get? Like, there are some really interesting questions in here. It's hard for me to believe that this is going to be the end of season 2 of the podcast. Season 3 of the Tokyo Lens podcast is going to be kicking off in January, and I cannot wait to have each and every single one of you there. This particular episode has been a bit of a special episode to me, aside from obviously announcing something like Patreon, which is a chance for us just to spend more time together. This was very personal in the sense that it's me sharing something that I truly and honestly care about, which is the shamisen. So I hope that you got some value out of this episode. I hope that you enjoyed it even a little bit. If you did, it would mean the world to me, kind of like a Christmas gift, if you would jump over to iTunes and leave a review for this podcast. Each one of those really, really does brighten my day, and I would love to see some new ones here at the end of the year. They always become motivation for me to do more episodes. Honest and personal thank you from me to you. I hope that this year ends beautifully for you. I hope that 2020 is even better than this year. And you guys know, I will talk to you again real soon.